Hey guys, this is Gabe Andrade, the lead pastor of Tree of Life Church. Our vision is to lead people to become all-in followers of Jesus Christ. Our hope is that this podcast inspires you to grow deeper in your relationship with God and others. Enjoy this message.
So we're continuing the series, The Invisible War. And this is week three. And last week it was the breastplate of righteousness. And week one was the belt of truth. And so today we're going to talk about the shoes of the gospel of peace. Now, I don't know about you, but I love shoes. I mean, I'm telling you, I have shoes for just about everything, and it's hard for me to get rid of shoes. It's really hard because I have more shoes than Ashley does, and that's pretty sad, right? But I have shoes for golf. Notice that I mentioned that one first. I got shoes for going out, you know, for a tuxedo or a suit. I have dress shoes. I have shoes to play sports in, baseball or softball. I have shoes for every occasion. We all have shoes. And so specifically the shoes of the gospel of peace, they are important. Because imagine if I came, and I was thinking about doing this, but I don't want to show you my toes. I don't want to show you my feet. I love you, but we ain't that close. You know what I'm saying? I was going to come barefoot, and I was going to show you that I was barefoot, but I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to scare you. But anyway, but just imagine that if you went everywhere barefoot. I think there's like a prank out there where people are just barefoot in the mall or in grocery stores, and they're just acting like normal. And it's funny to see that because you don't expect people to just be barefoot in a convenience store or just anywhere. It just looks funny. But just imagine that you're walking into the world, into just society, and you have no spiritual shoes on. It's just as silly to walk out into the war zone because it's hostile and have no spiritual shoes on. And so the gospel of peace, the shoes of the gospel of peace are essential. We need to wear them every day. Now, it's a metaphor, but it's a mindset. It's a belief. It's something that we are intentional about, okay? And so we're going to read Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 18. This is our key scripture for the series, The Invisible War. And so let's read it. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Our strength comes from submitting to God. Like the more that we yield to God's guidance and leadership, the more we submit to God's word, we are strengthened. The strength comes from God, not in our own strength. In the power of his might, that is so important because I've tried to do things on my own will. I've tried to overcome sin by, I'm going to do better. This is the last time. I'm not going to do this again. I promise. It was all me. Instead of me surrendering to God, coming to him in my brokenness and understanding that in my weakness, his strength is perfected. See, God invites us to come to him with our messed up selves. He invites us to come to him broken. He invites us to come to him submitted to him, and he becomes our strength, and we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. It says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. God has already ordained for you to stand against the schemes of the devil. He has already set you up for victory. He's already ordained it. He's given you the authority, a delegated authority, so that you can stand even if all hell is coming against you. Even if you feel the opposition, he's already ordained for you to stay standing. To stand strong. Now notice that he says to withstand here in a minute. And it says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's the unseen realm. Now, the Bible says that everything that we see was created by what we do not see. The seen was created by the unseen. The visible was created by the invisible. And there are heavenly places. There's a spiritual realm. And there's an invisible war happening in the spiritual realm. And here on the earth, the war is against, it's basically control. Who is in control? Who has authority over the land? who are you and I agreeing with? Every region, every neighborhood, all communities, they all have a principality, a spirit that's trying to control the minds of the people. And when people agree with these spirits, all of a sudden, we manifest the will of the spirits or the spirit that we are obeying or submitted to or agreeing to. Okay, so let's keep going. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. You see how important standing is? It mentions withstand, stand. It mentions it more than once because the shoes of the gospel of peace, the Roman soldiers, the shoes had spikes. And the spikes were really to stand against the opposition, against the enemy. They were to hold their ground so they had spikes so they wouldn't slip. And so it uses this metaphor so that we can stand because we're going to feel the pressure. We're going to feel pushed back, but we have to stand firm on God's word. And so we're going to continue to read. It says 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. That's week one. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Week two. Here's the third week. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And this is what I'm going to be teaching from. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I'm going to continue to read 16 through 18. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now the shoes of the gospel of peace. Now, there are two points that I have for you today, and I want you to know the enemy wants your peace. He wants your tranquility, your ability to be at rest. He attacks our peace, and the peace that I'm going to talk about today is supernatural. It's above this world's peace. It's greater than any peace and tranquility this world can offer because there is a worldly peace, but this is a supernatural. Natural spiritual peace that comes from God. It is God's peace. So the first point is the gospel of peace. I'm going to break down that scripture and now that scripture that we just read to is in 15. It says, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So I'm going to talk about the gospel of peace. What is the gospel of peace? Now let me ask you a question. Do you have peace with God? Now, before someone passes away, before if there's any division, any unforgiveness, any bitterness, oftentimes the people will ask, did you make peace with your dad? Did you make peace with your mom? Have you made peace with your enemies? Have you made peace with the people that have hurt you? It's important to know, is there peace? Is there peace? And we think of that often when it comes to family members and people that we love. We need to have peace with them. But when it comes to God, that's most important. Do you have peace with God? Why do we need to have peace with God? Why is there a gospel? Gospel means good news of peace. The reason for it is because the Bible says that for all have sinned. And to sin means to miss the mark. The target, it's God's perfection. It's God's standard. The target is God's ways. And when we miss God's ways, God's perfect standards, we miss the mark. We sin. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of God's glorious standard, of God's glory. And because there's sin, there's separation. And that separation, there needs to be a peace offering so that we can reunite. Now, when Ashley and I have a falling out, when we disagree, and yes, we do have those moments and days where we're not getting along, we're not perfect as individuals, and our relationship is great, but we're still a work in progress. But if I, for whatever reason, if I disrespect her, or if I forget an important date, or I didn't get her a card on Mother's Day or something of that nature, because that's her love language, is gifts. If I miss the mark, if I sin against my wife, okay, then there's no unity. Then there's no intimacy. there's little connection. But if I humble myself and I go buy the fine girl some flowers, the ones that she likes, the Gerber, is it Gerber flowers? Yes, she's here. She's just nodding yes. I get her flowers and I get her something that she likes, a gift card. Because if I try to buy what I think she likes, she'll take it back and exchange it. But anyway, but I'll do something for her. Take her on a date. Do something for her. What I'm doing is I want peace with you. I'm willing to give a gift so that we can have peace. I'm willing to give a peace offering. Now, the beautiful thing about the gospel of peace is that we cannot give God a gift to have peace with him. Because there's no gift that's great enough to close the chasm, the gap, to unite us with God. There's no gift that I can come up with that's great enough for me to have a relationship with God. That's why the breastplate of righteousness is so important. The breastplate of righteousness, which was last week that Refuge taught on, the reason why that's so vital is because he made me right with himself by providing a peace offering. So God himself, he wants peace with us, and he provides a peace offering. And that peace offering is the great sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is a peace offering. He's God's gift to mankind for us to have a relationship with God. Now, I've said this before, and I'll say it again, that Jesus Christ did not come to make peace with you. Now, when I got this revelation, it blew my mind, because Jesus is the Prince of Peace, which means that if we're going to have peace, he's the Prince of Peace. So the greatest chance of peace on the earth is Jesus Christ. He's the Prince of Peace. Okay? He's the author of peace. But he didn't come so that he would make peace with me. The Bible says, even Jesus said, do not think that I've come into the world to make peace with mankind. He says, I've come with a sword. Dividing misplaced priorities, dividing a father from his son or a daughter from mother, dividing the family for the sake of salvation. In other words, you could be so devoted to a person that you're so disconnected to God. You could be so into your family to where my family's first and God is not priority in your life. And then Jesus says, I've come to disrupt your priorities because I don't want you to go to hell. I don't want you to be eternally separated from me. I want you and your family. But Jesus did not come to make peace with us. He came to make peace for us. A vast difference. He is our peace offering. And because he made peace for us, then and only then can we have peace with him. Does it make sense? And so let's read a couple of scriptures, because Paul is writing in Ephesians and he's saying, put your shoes on of the gospel of peace. Make sure that you understand the gospel of peace. And he calls it his gospel. In 2 Timothy 2:8, he says this, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel. He's saying that the gospel is not a formula. The gospel is not just the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In other words, the gospel is not just what Jesus did. It's who Jesus is. See, the gospel is not just principles. It's not just promises. It's a person. The gospel of peace is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is powerful. Romans 1:16 says, for I am not ashamed. This is Paul again. Of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone to believe. You see the belt of truth, week one. The reason that's essential is because the belt of truth holds it all together. Truth holds every piece of armor and weapon together. And so when we believe, we receive salvation. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1, 19 and 20 says this, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, meaning Jesus Christ, and through him to reconcile, which means to bring back to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Here it is. By making peace through his blood shed on the cross. The gospel of peace is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the gift given to us as a peace offering. God provided the gift, okay? He became the gift, and then he received the gift. Only God can do that. Only God can do that in his miraculous ways. Can he require a peace offering, become the peace offering, and receive the peace offering? It's a beautiful thing. God became like us. Okay, it's beautiful. Several years ago, when I understood the peace offering, see, I grew up in church. I grew up understanding who Jesus was, and I understood the law, and it took me some time to understand grace. I didn't know what grace was. I didn't know what righteousness was. I didn't know that I could have peace with God, but I didn't. I went to church, but I had no peace. And you know what I felt like? I felt like a, you know, we mentioned this in week one, like a defeated believer. And here was my prayer request. I want to get closer to God. And there are so many believers that feel so far from God, they feel like they're doing a lousy job as a believer, as a disciple. When you ask people, how's your faith? Man, it could be better. How's your relationship with God? It's okay. Man, what is God saying to you? I haven't heard him for a while. Man, what is God revealing to you? Man, do you feel like your relationship is vibrant and passionate? Do you feel, you know, is the Father just leading you? How do you feel as a follower of Jesus Christ? And a lot of people just like, nah, you know, pray for me, man. I need to get closer to God. Or pray for me. I'm not praying enough. You know, pray for me. I haven't read my devotional. I'm not reading like I know I should. It doesn't come across as winning, does it? It sounds like a defeated mentality. Like, man, we're losing. We're losing in this faith thing. We're losing. And consequently, if we are, it's going to impact everything around us. I'm telling you, it's going to impact every area, every other priority, our family, our finances, even our work. It just kind of, it messes with every other area, because if we're not winning as sons and daughters of the King, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So I remember as a child, I didn't feel close to God. My prayer request was always, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. I repent, I repent, I repent. I won't do it again. I can't. I keep thinking bad. And this was my mindset. I'm one sin away from hell. I'm one sin away from complete eternal damnation. If God comes back for his bride and I'm caught slipping at that very moment, I'm done. I didn't understand grace. I didn't understand righteousness. So I didn't have peace. In order for you to have peace, you have to understand righteousness. If you haven't listened to that message, go back last week's message and listen to it. The breastplate of righteousness. In order for you to have peace, you have to understand righteousness. You cannot be right with God based on what you do in your own works. Okay, so that's how the peace comes. So the gospel of peace, once I understood that God loves me perfectly and completely, and on my best day, he loves me to the max. And on my worst day, he loves me to the max. And there's nothing that I can do to change God's mind about me. Once I understood that when God sees me, he sees the perfect sacrifice, the peace offering. When God sees me, he sees his son, changes everything. The Bible says that though you fall, you know, six times, you get back up on the seventh time. When I understood that God is for me, that his grace is, he champions his sons. He says, I'm with you. And because I'm with you, you are strong. And I'm with you. And because I'm with you, you will overcome. When I understood that he is my father, he's my father, and that he loves his children, it changes absolutely everything. And so the gospel of peace is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he is a peace offering. So the preparation, see, we put on the shoes. The preparation is the second point. It's interesting that it says in verse 15, and having shod your feet, which means putting on your shoes, with the preparation. Paul uses the word preparation. Now, what does that mean, the preparation of the gospel of peace? What does that mean? See, it's important. See, I speak English and Spanish, but I'm not very fluent. I can speak Spanish. I can order food. You know, if I go to Mexico, I'll survive, okay? And I understand it, and I speak it It's embarrassing. Okay, put it to you that way. Sometimes people ask me to marry them in Spanish, and I'm like, I will not mess up your ceremony trying to do it in Spanish. And so I'm not that fluent in Spanish. And even in English, I'm not that fluent. Sorry. And so, but the deal is that when you understand the gospel of peace, the gospel is fluent in your life. That means that everything, the Bible says that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. Meaning that everything in your life is preparing you. It's preparing you for what God has prepared for you. Every circumstance, God is working something out for his good, for his glory, even if it doesn't make sense. There's preparation that's continuously happening. Check this out. In Hebrews 13, 20 and 21, it says, now may the God of peace, that's what he's called, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. I'm going to read that again. Equip you with everything good for doing his will. There's an equipping that's happening that's called preparation because of the God of peace. And it says this, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him. I'm telling you, when you put the shoes of the gospel of peace on, you're saying, God, does my lifestyle please you? Does my walk please you? See, we please God through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. You see, the preparation is understanding that he is the peace offering, and he empowers me to be a peacemaker. That's what it says in Matthew 5:9, that blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God, the daughters of God, the peacemakers. Now, I want to read 1 Thessalonians 5:23, because how are we equipped? What is God preparing us for? And why are we in this process? Jesus said it is finished, but why are we still in process? Here's why. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, now may the God of peace make you holy in every way. God wants to make you holy in absolutely every way, from top to bottom. That's why the armor is important, because every part of your body is covered, okay? He wants to make you holy in every way. Notice the progression here. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus comes again. Now, notice that he said spirit, your whole spirit, your soul, and your body. He didn't say, now may your whole body, may your whole soul and spirit be kept. He said spirit first. Here's why. Jesus, as the peace offering, provided justification for us. That means that the wrath of God has been justified by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. In other words, God's anger was poured out on the sacrifice, or God's justice for the sins of the world, past, present, future, were all poured on Jesus Christ. That's called justification. In other words, I have been justified. My account has been cleared. My debt has been canceled. That's called justified. You and I, if we believe in Jesus Christ, your sins have been forgiven. That means you have been justified. That's my spirit. My spirit is perfect before God. Spirit is absolutely blameless before God. Now, he will make me holy, which means to be set apart for a specific purpose, the purposes of God. Now, make you holy in every way, your spirit, now your soul. Your soul is the emotional realm of you, the emotional part of you. Your soul is your thinking. Your soul is your will. Now, once your spirit is submitted to God, he's justified you, now your soul is being sanctified. Justification, Jesus Christ has done. Now, sanctification, that's the preparation. That's the process that I'm in. I'm being sanctified right now. You know, under construction signs, you might as well carry one around and just let everybody know. Detour, I am under construction. It's going to be a little slow. Traffic's going to be a little slow. Slow down. I'm under construction. Don't you just want to wear that and say, hey, God's still working on me to make me what I got to be? You know that song? He's still working on us. That's called sanctification. And the Bible says that when we are risen from the grave, or when we resurrect, we will be glorified. We will have a new body. So if we're going to experience peace in the physical realm, in my body, my spirit has to be justified. My soul has to be in a constant process of sanctification so that my body can experience the peace of God. It's not the other way around. I don't focus on my body first, and then my soul, and then I'll get to my spirit. It's the other way around. See, the unseen realm, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Okay? And the peace that God has for you comes when you understand justification, sanctification, and glorification. Okay? So, now, I love shoes. Okay? And I love the fact that I'm a messenger. My very name, Gabriel, means messenger. And I bring messages. More than sermons, I bring messages. More than even Bible teaching, I bring messages that are prophetic, that I believe that are timely. That's just how God speaks to me. I have messages. And I have a hard time preparing a sermon, but I don't have a hard time preparing messages because God gives me messages. That's who I am. Well, here's what the scripture says in Isaiah 52:7. It says, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messenger who brings good news." It's beautiful. The good news of peace and salvation. The news that the God of Israel reigns. You see, I'm not the only messenger. Just because my name is Gabriel doesn't mean I'm the only messenger. You're a messenger. You see, we as disciples of Jesus Christ and followers of Jesus Christ are messengers. And when we get up and we are intentional that, you know, I don't have spiritual shoes that I can see and be just like, let me put them on. It's a mindset. It's a focus. And I understand that everywhere I go, I'm either bringing peace or chaos. I'm either bringing joy or I'm coming in and I'm sucking the energy out of a room. When I walk in the room, the Bible says, Jesus told his disciples, when you go into a house, a new house, when you go to minister, because peace, the gospel of peace, I forgot to mention this. Shalom in the Old Testament means this. In the ancient Hebrew, it means to destroy the authority attached to chaos. You see, when we come as peacemakers and we have the gospel of shoes, we've been prepared for it, and we say shalom, which means peace in Hebrew, to an atmosphere, to a person. We're saying, may God destroy the authority attached to chaos in someone's home, someone's family, someone's marriage, someone's life in general. And Jesus told his disciples, when you go into a house, first say shalom. First say peace. See, we are to walk in peace. Now, I want to encourage you to lean into the gospel of peace. How is the gospel of peace relevant to parenting, to marriage, to your finances, to your work, to your fitness, your health? How is it relevant to every part, to a teenager? How is the gospel, how is the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, how is that process relevant? See, there are seasons where I feel like I'm dying. I'm dying to selfishness, dying to pride. And then I feel like I'm being buried, where I'm like, I can't hear God. And then all of a sudden I have this new revelation of God. That's the preparation of the gospel. That's the preparation. God has you in process right now. He's preparing you for what he has prepared for you. Here's what he tells his disciples before he goes to the cross. Jesus is about to die. Okay, he's already in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's battling anxiety because of the cup that he was to drink that had all the sins of the world in it. Disgusting. And he was going to take that upon him. He was going to make peace for us as a peace offering. Once he overcame that with prayer and he surrendered himself to the Roman soldiers, before all that, he tells his disciples, I leave you with a gift. John 14:27. I'm leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled and afraid. The world can't give it because the world is from the outside in. But the peace that Jesus gives us from the inside out, it's from your spirit to your soul, to your body. It's all based on what you believe. We need peace. Several years ago when I lost everything, I mean, it's been, I don't even know how many years. It's already been like 12 years, maybe less, 2009. So what, 11 years? 11 years ago, almost 12 years ago, I lost everything. And I remember, I felt like I was losing my mind. I do, I remember my finances, my house, everything. The only thing I had was my family, thank God. But it was messing up my relationship with Ashley. She was going through some sickness as well. She had a cancer scare. But I remember praying and said, God, if I lose everything, please, as long as you give me peace, as long as you're with me, I know I can get through it. I just need your peace. That was my one prayer. I need peace right now because I had none. I had no peace. And I remember I had peace. God gave me such peace that he gave me the revelation and the vision of Tree of Life. You see, you might be going through right now. You might be going through the hardest and most difficult time in your life. God gives you a gift. It's peace of mind and of heart. This is the same peace that the scripture talks about, that when you pray, instead of worrying and being anxious about anything, pray about everything. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. And the peace that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. The peace that surpasses all of your reasoning, all of the experiences, all of your feelings. The peace that surpasses all of the doubts. The peace that surpasses worldly peace will guard your heart and your mind. Every day, receive that. All you have to do is when you wake up is thank God for the gospel. Thank God for Jesus. I have a relationship with God. That is more precious than anything and everything. No matter what happens, I have a relationship with God and I have peace in my heart. And when you have that peace, you can give it away. You can say to someone, shalom, peace. May God destroy the authority attached to chaos in your life. You see, I want to encourage you, put the shoes of the gospel of peace on every day. Before you greet your husband, before you greet your kids, before you greet your parents, before you go to the workplace, before you go to the world, make sure you have peace on. It helps you see everything through God's perspective. It's the gospel of peace. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you give us this armor that's spiritual, that you help us, Lord. In a time of need, I thank you that you are our strength for us. You fight our battles. Our strength and power is in you. Father, I thank you that your people are victorious, that they overcome the world because you did. God, I thank you that we will be known by the way that we love each other as disciples, that the world will know us because we have such love for each other, but the world will also know us as peacemakers, that we are called the sons of God. Lord, I pray that every household experience peace right now. I pray that those, Lord, that are watching that need peace with you, that they understand that the gospel is the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus, you became the peace offering. I thank you so much for the peace that surpasses all understanding. And Lord, there are people that are going through hard times right now. There are people that they've had just about enough. They can't take anymore. God, there are people that are overwhelmed with life, that are insecure, that have been taken advantage of. There are people that are in need of healing. God, I thank you for the peace that surpasses all understanding. May it guard their hearts and their minds. If you're watching today or listening and you need peace with God, it's as simple as believing that Jesus Christ was the perfect sacrifice, the peace offering to make peace for you, first and foremost. So that you can have a relationship with God. So that he, telling you, he could lead you and guide you into eternity. It's a beautiful thing. So it's a decision that you have to make. It's a decision. I remember making that decision as a kid. I was 15 years old. And then I've been in preparation ever since. But I made that decision. Then I said, I will follow Jesus Christ. And even when I stumbled, and even when I had some dark seasons, I remember coming back and saying, God, I need your help. And the more that I understood that he is my righteousness, the more that I understood that he is my peace, he is my strength, and he is my equipper. He is the one who champions me. He's the one who empowers me by His Spirit, the more I was able to please Him. Make that decision to follow Jesus Christ. Let us know, comment, that I'm making a decision today. I'm making a decision to follow Jesus Christ. I'm not going back to my old ways. I'm going to follow Him one day at a time. If that's you, it's a simple decision. I'm going to give you moments to respond as we worship. All you got to do is respond to God. Believe that Jesus Christ is the truth, the way, and the life. Let's worship together. Let's worship.
Thanks for listening to the message of the week. Help us spread the good news of the gospel by sharing this message with friends and family. For more information, visit our website, treeoflife.church, or across social media at Tree of Life Church. See you next week.